This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Wyatt Thompson, very brief break. Wyatt, we were just texting last week as we were live at a St. Patrick's Day event. I was like, all right, Wyatt, well, I guess, you know, we'll just get to that time of year where we kind of check in occasionally. The basketball team lost early and all these things. And then what do you know it? It's like, oh, hey, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on. The K-State women are they're dancing, baby, and we're on to the Sweet 16. I want to get to them in just a second, but just to sort of continue a conversation we were just having with people. There's this narrative building that like Cinderella's and upsets are dead on the men's side because we have all power conference teams in there. I don't feel that way at all. I think it's been representative completely of the way this season has gone for college basketball on the men's side, that there were a large group of really good teams. But like for me, I don't want to overreact to it because Cinderellas never win the championship anyway. Like Cinderella, like true Cinderellas are good for a win, maybe two to get to the Sweet 16. But I just like, we've never had a double digit seed play in a national championship game ever. It's never happened.
Yeah, I don't know this. I'd have to research it, but I do think that, you know, you have a couple of teams there that you might throw out there as, boy, they came close, right? If you think back years ago, Utah made the national championship game. Obviously, FAU in more recent times. But generally speaking, if you are a team like a Colorado State who lost a heartbreaking game last night at the buzzer, I thought they were as good as most teams at their level as I had seen. But it's so hard to, I mean, if you look at the Sweet 16 on the men's side, what do you see? Lots of SEC, lots of Big 10, lots of Big 12, and an ACC team. That's yep. It. That's where
and it should have been one. The Colorado State should have won. Maryland, they traveled, but then, I don't like Colorado State's really good. Like, are they really a Cinderella, a team that like rolls that's out of fair. The Mountain West and is? I don't know that fits for me, but maybe it does for some people.
Well, I guess I would say they were in this particular case, but only because of the circumstance that they were in. They've been good with Nico Medved for quite a while, but they probably have been playing NCAA tournament basketball for their last 10 or 11 games. They weren't getting in unless they won the Mountain West tournament. That's everybody is saying it. And yet they were probably the fourth best team in the Mountain West. And that's the thing. I think if you really, again, I think everybody deserves a solid chance, but man, how could you leave them out? They weren't left out. But there are so many automatic qualifiers that aren't even in the vicinity of where they're at, as an example. it kind of, a lot of people are complaining about the margin in these games too. And that's just, it's just what it is. It's part of the tournament. It's, you know, worse on the women's side, if I'm being honest.
It always has been.
And always will be, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, Wyatt, it's an interesting thing. As you sit and watch, Jacob and I were talking about this. Paul Savage here, by the way. Good to talk to you.
Good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Good to see, you know, it's just wonderful to have you on and visit with you a little bit. I'm really appreciative of this tournament in a lot of ways. I think, and maybe I'm going to make a broad statement, and you can yay or nay me, whichever you want to do, but this is a broad statement, something I think I've observed, and that is defense is being played in this tournament better and more ferociously than it's ever been played before. Defense is winning, is the factor that's going to win this basketball tournament. Right? I mean, it was a good conversation, and I need to know what you think.
I cannot argue with that, Paul, because I've always believed that the teams, generally speaking, that are going to be the most consistent are those that defend. I think a really good example that we could use here, if you look at metrics, is Tennessee or Alabama or Auburn. Those types of teams, maybe even an Oregon from last night or Arizona, all of those teams love to score up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But when push comes to shove, their metrics defensively are really good too. And I just think that's what, you know, Houston's another, they're probably the best example because they've almost gone the other way. They've been so good defensively for so long. Now the offense has caught up, right? They've never had a team quite like this from my perspective with two elite shooters and then Uzan playing like he's playing too. I think they're going to be a hard out. But I totally agree. I mean, you better defend and rebound. And I think pretty much, generally speaking, the 16 or left are pretty darn good at that.
I would say the only disappointment, Wyatt, for the Big 12 was Iowa State last night.
No doubt.
Other than that, getting four teams in feels pretty good to me.
And it's to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, four out of the seven. And they all have an opportunity still to advance one round further. How good would it feel to say four out of eight, you know, into the Elite Eight? So I think the Big 12 is kind of right where they need to be for this tournament. The league was not quite as top heavy as we thought it would be this year. But here we are when push comes to shove, and they're right there.
Yeah. Well, I've told you all along, and you know this, you follow this, guys, Texas Tech's elite in so many different ways, including depth. Nobody wants to talk about their depth. And that's what hurt Iowa State last night. I'm not saying it's the reason they lost, but not having Keyshawn Gilbert was a factor. I don't care what anybody says. He may not be their best player, but he's one of their best players. And going back to Paul's point, he's about as good a defender as they have, right? You're going to, and in my mind, that game was won on the toughness meter by Mississippi, not what Iowa State didn't do. They just got out. They just got, Bruce Weber used to call it, we got punked. Iowa State got punked last night, in my mind. Mississippi State wanted it more from the get-go. I thought that was happening in the Arizona game. They were down 19-4, and then the next thing you know, they're winning the game. It's like, whoa. But they can score. They got a lot of dudes that can put it in the basket.
You know,
let's talk about the women real quick here. So we don't know who they'll play yet. We know they'll play next Saturday. We think it's probably going to be USC. USC is very good. But before we do that, the run that they're on, you know, they got to this point last year, and I think they feel like they left a lot on the table. Now it's been a year of injury. They're finally healthy, and they have an overtime thriller like that on the road to advance. Do you get the sense that that washes it completely clean? You kind of swap one year for the other. I don't know. Like, I'm glad they're in the Sweet 16. They're certainly a team that's good enough to be in the Sweet 16. So it's really good to see them at least be healthy. But it had to be a little bit vindicating to get through that round that way after what happened last year.
I'll be perfectly honest with you, Jacob. I think it's a great question. And I think the shortest answer is yes. I think there is some of that. Last year left such a horrible taste in their mouth. I don't think it went away. but it probably will now, right? I mean, they feel like, I'm just telling you, I think they feel like they can go out there and beat USC too. Now, whether they will or not, I don't know that. But it's a talented team. I've said all year it's a deep team, but yesterday they played only seven, but so did Kentucky. You get down to this time and those minutes are so precious, right? You got to have your best people on the floor. I didn't even look. Let me look here real quick on Yoki and the minutes. She played almost 29 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot for her right now coming off.
She'd have played more if she wasn't in foul trouble, I think.
Absolutely she would have. She'd have probably been at 31, 32 minutes. Yeah, I'm really proud of them from the standpoint of they won a game yesterday that was there for the grabbing, but you still got to do it, and in a hard environment. If you look at the numbers, they're different teams, and yet there's a ton of similarities. K-State shot 40%. They shot 39%. I mean, all the way across, it was a high-level women's college basketball game from my perspective. You know, there were missed shots and those kind of things, but defense is part of that. They just made enough plays. A little bit fortunate that little floater at the end kind of bounced off. I thought
ball
it was
don't
going.
Lie.
I was like, oh.
Ball don't lie. It shouldn't have gone in because the ball don't lie. I mean, yeah. That's the truth of the matter. It was there.
Mm-hmm. You know, Wyatt, I want to ask a Big 12 question with regards to the women's side of this basketball tournament, and that is, does the Big 12 have a chance of winning a national championship? I mean, TCU has snuck up on me. That whole organization snuck up on me on the girls' side, the women's side. It just has. I'm sorry to say that. It snuck up on me, and TCU's a really, really good basketball team. But do they have the juice to win a national championship, or are we going to crown South Carolina another year? And, I mean, what's going on? Come on. Are we going to have any fun in this tournament or not?
Well, I think there is a chance of it, Paul, but I don't know. This next game, because TCU gets Notre Dame now, that'll be a hard opponent for them. But they do have a lot of pieces. I had the chance to see them when they were here in Manhattan. During the regular season, and they do have pieces. They have a big girl who's really active and can score. Everybody knows about the Von Lith gal, and she's really, really rock solid. Mark's done a good job with them, you know, getting, you know, quality players, and for them to not only win the league, but to win the league tournament too, I think that tells you they've got some toughness to them. If they get by that, now you're looking at a potential matchup with Texas. And the reality of it is, you talk about winning a national title, somebody's going to have to beat a Texas or a South Carolina or whatever to get there. And in the women's game, it's just harder because they have more good players.
Yeah.
Those elite teams like that, that's what they have.
Yeah, and it feels like it's always been that way. I've always hoped NIL would spread that. I don't think we have enough. Like, we can try and go to the men's side and come up with trends and all these things. I don't think we've got that yet for the women. I suppose seeing TCU very quickly get to this point, you know, by bringing players in would give us an indication that maybe that will spread out a little bit, just sort of which teams have an appetite to be really good at women's basketball. We see, you know, some of the players are as high profile as the men, quite honestly, when you talk about an endorsement or any of those kinds of things have moved around. But it does. It's not as dominant as it used to be. I think that we got a little bit of progress when you could have written in the national championship, the national champion in October. And there have been a lot of years it's been that way. I don't think it's that way this year at all. And I don't think it has been for a little while.
I think there are more. What we're basically saying here is I think there are more K-States and TCUs and West Virginias than there once were. And yet, you know, if you look at the last, say, 20 to 25 years in women's college basketball, it's been pretty top heavy with domination, right? Most recently, it's been a South Carolina or whatever. But yeah, I don't know if you saw that picture on social media the other day of Gino Auriemma. He had all the championship rings on his fingers and his thumbs and stuff. It's like he didn't have enough fingers and thumbs to do it. So they still need a little bit more. A little bit more even Steven, if you will, because if you look at the men's Sweet 16, it's a lot harder to say these four are going to get to where they need to go.
Oh, sure.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's just, that's in my personal opinion, I believe that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get eight more threes out of Tamir Poindexter.
It would not hurt. She was on it yesterday. It seemed like about every shot was right in the middle of the well, man. She was on. Knock on wood. Let's hope she can bring that Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's just hope they can stay healthy.
She's really talented, man.
Yeah.
They've got so many great players, and we love them because they've got so many great local players that we've been following since they were high schoolers. And they're a fun team, and it's going to be tough. They go out to, it was Spokane, right?
Yeah.
They got to go out to Spokane Saturday and likely play USC. If you want to see an upset, tonight would be a good night to root for one. Go for Mississippi State over USC. 100%
true, yeah, because they are really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody made the point about K-State last year beating, you know, a Caitlin Clark. I know USC's got a great, great player, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's hard, but, you know, they're where they're at now. Now you're 40 minutes away from going one more step. Let's see if they can do it. I hope they can, because it's been a blast watching them. As a matter of fact, they've created more work for me. Brian's doing the games this weekend, so somebody's got to do baseball on radio, and I got K-State and Texas Tech Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because of that. So I'm good. It's more work, but I love it. Let's go.
There you go. Well, you know, can I be a
trendsetter?
I want to be a trendsetter here real quick, and I'll probably get the ire of Jacob with this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to be the very first person in your life right now to ask you, who do you got winning the men's basketball league in the Big 12 next year? Because after all, we're not going to jinx K-State. They're not in. They're not playing. They didn't get in.
Right.
So I can ask this question. Who do you got winning the Big 12 next year?
Are you talking football or basketball?
Basketball.
Ooh, it's so hard to tell without knowing what's going to happen.
I know.
I mean, the portal opens today, as you guys know. And I've already heard that Josan Sanin, as an example, that terrific freshman at Arizona State's in the portal. He won't be the first or the last, obviously. It's most difficult, but I'll say just based on what I believe will happen in terms of the players that everybody has that are coming back, I would give you a couple of two or three teams to really watch. I think BYU is going to be way good, right? I think Houston, even though they will have significant losses, they have a top five national recruiting class and some dudes back. And then, I mean, if you've not seen the Patterson kid who's going to Kansas, he's dynamite. And they've got El Marco Jackson, and they've got Flory Badunga and some
of
those types of guys.
They get a clean slate, too.
And don't sleep on Tech. That's not what you wanted, but I'm just telling you, part of the league should be just terrific next year, I think.
Well, I just wanted to be the first one to ask you. That's all, Wyatt. I wanted to be a first in your life at something.
Well, I appreciate that.
We saw Coach Tang here this weekend. In Wichita for the games. You may be getting a look at some play. It'll be wild, and I hope the Cats and the Cat Boosters have the same sort of appetite that they have in years past. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the internal roster movement, but you got to have that, you know, you got to have that well to go to go get these guys. And I think I get the sense that they do. I think they're going to have plenty to play with here and go try to piece another roster together. It's really kind of with them, don't you think, more of who comes back?
Yeah, right now I think that's probably a legitimate thought, and I think a good portion of these guys will come back. It's probably unrealistic to think that all that could will. You know, as an example, you know, just an average person that's a basketball fan is probably going to say, why wouldn't Doug McDaniel get into the portal to see what's out there money-wise? And I get that.
Yeah.
Right?
I do too.
Not saying he will or he won't.
Yeah.
But that's the way people think now. That's how we've been set up to think based on the money. I mean, you heard the Queen kid last night talk about what sets Kevin Willard apart as the basketball coach at Maryland. He pays me. That was his answer.
I didn't hear that. That's funny. It's true, but it's
not untrue. Not every player. By the way, not every
kids
player
now are asking more when they come in. I've been told this by, you know, lots and lots of people. When they come in and visit now, they have their parents with them or a handler or both. And the first thing I ask is, what are you paying me?
Yep. And some coaches are comfortable with that and some aren't. Not every player is that way either.
That's fair. Right. More than
Wyatt,
fair.
Saturday. Here we go. Sweet 16 for the women. We appreciate it. Thanks for hopping in here.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Wyatt. Good to talk to you.